Nouns. What are they? Put simply, nouns are people, places, or things. Now, people and places are nouns that we understand rather easily. For example, Mary Lou and Yuen, they're people. And the church, well, that's the place where they use their gifts to worship God and lead us in music ministry. And the sanctuary is the place where we have come together to worship. As for things, they are the pews we sit in, the radiators that warm up the space. So nouns sometimes don't seem all that complicated. But then there are nouns that are ideas and concepts, such as faith and belief, truth and fact. Truth. What is truth? Put simply, truth can be defined in three ways. One, the truth is real facts about something. For example, the truth. Reverend Janet has never been 5 feet tall. Yes, you can laugh. The word truth also can be defined as the quality or state of being true. The truth. Reverend Janet would rather shovel snow than cook. And three. Truth can be defined as a statement or idea that is true or accepted as true, a transcendent fundamental or spiritual reality. The truth. The resurrection was a truth that Reverend Janet wrestled with during her time at seminary. But this noun truth can get very complicated because it can be qualified as absolute or relative. Truth can be described as absolute when it can stand alone, independent of influence from a particular time in history or religion or cultural reference, let's say. So, for example, some people believe in the absolute truth that there is only one God. Doesn't matter what others claim. Others, however, believe that truth is all relative. A truth is dependent on a person's frame of reference, such as a particular time in history, religion, culture. And so there are those who believe that Allah as God is the truth to Muslims and Yahweh as God is the truth for Christians and Jews. And then add to absolute and relative truth a relatively new phenomenon called post-truth. And your head may start spinning like mine did as I meditated on this word, truth. In 2016, the Oxford English named post-truth as the word of the year. Post-truth is defined as relating to or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal belief. In other words, post-truth describes a context in which people are swayed by their feelings and opinions more than they are swayed by objective fact. A phenomenon, unfortunately, rearing its ugly head, not only in Europe and in the States, but here in our own nation. So what is truth? Facts that scientists observe in nature? True statements that scientists establish from the facts that they've observed in nature. The one we know as Jesus Christ. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus tells Pilate that he has come to testify to the truth. And how might Pilate have understood this word truth? In Greek philosophy, one could understand truth as an accurate perspective on reality. Romans similarly spoke of truth as a factual representation of events. Interestingly, though, in the Hebrew scriptures, truth primarily conveys the notion of God's faithfulness. The notion of God's faithfulness. But for Jesus, as he tells Pilate in this mockery of a trial, he has come to testify, to bear witness to the truth. Moreover, he will be evidence of truth despite the political wrangling around him for power. For you see, before municipal elections and mayoral races, before midterm American elections for the Senate and the House, There were Jewish high priests and rabbis and Roman governors. And like many who single-mindedly pursue power and influence, truth is not always relevant or important. But whether the world wants to admit it or not, we, as a people of God, live in the hope and knowledge that Christ does reign, and this reign is one of truth. The truth that Jesus gives evidence to and ultimately is. And this is the twist. Jesus not only gives evidence to the truth, but he is the truth. For he says in chapter 14 to his disciples, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Pilate, however, is not interested in the truth. The Roman governor needs to keep the Jews in check, you see. Otherwise, his superiors will have him removed from his prefect. After all, Pilate didn't have the greatest relationship with the Jews. Around 26-27 Common Era, Pilate had a Roman banner or flag embossed with figures of the emperor set up in Jerusalem in the middle of the night. When the Jews saw this, they protested. And when Pilate had his soldiers draw their swords, the Jews stood their ground and were willing to die for their faith. So Pilate removed the offensive reminder of Roman rule. But before Jesus' crucifixion, there was another altercation, so to speak. And when the Jews protested again, Pilate did not relent and inflicted a large number of casualties on the Jews. Power and influence. These are the things that Pilate pursued relentlessly. But at what cost? In your life and in mine, what is it that we pursue relentlessly? And what is the cost of that relentless pursuit? In the end, Pilate would be removed from his office a mere 3 years after Christ's crucifixion. What might have Pilate's future look like if he had recognized the truth standing before him? It can be interesting and stimulating to speculate on the what-ifs, but this morning I would suggest that it would be fruitful for us to consider this truth that Christ came to testify and is. And this truth is one, in order to understand and live out of, we must be in relationship with. In order to learn and live out of this truth, we need to be in relationship with Christ. Just as food is to the body and search engines are to the web, so is the truth to who Christ is. As people of faith, there is this relationship aspect to truth. And just like any relationship, we bring our gifts, but we also bring our baggage. So the question I have now is, what baggage are we holding on to that prevents us from opening ourselves to the truth of Christ? I'm going to repeat that. What baggage are we holding on to that prevents us from opening ourselves up to the truth of Christ? Returning to Pilate in our gospel reading, he carried with him this insatiable desire. Perhaps we could even call it lust for power and influence. Holding on to this baggage, he had no free hand to even hold the truth before him or touch it. So what do you have in your hands? What are you holding on to tightly? Is it a desire for good health and independence? Is it longing for good grades and good friends, a good university? Is it hope for good wages or good clients? What is it? In and of themselves, our desires and longing and hopes, they're just that. Longings, desires, and hopes. But if we hold on to them and just them, how can we even reach out to touch the truth? For example, have you ever had your hands so full of groceries and then you realize you had to put something down in order to reach for your keys in your pocket or your purse? Have you ever had your hands full of books or other items and stood in front of your locker realizing you got to put something down in order to open your lock? Have we ever had our minds and hearts so full of the things that we want that we've forgotten to make room for the truth that has come to bring us abundant life? Vast and deep and rich, the truth Jesus testifies to will take more than a lifetime to learn and experience, because the truth of Christ cannot be contained by a definition in a theological dictionary or even a doctrine, since Jesus in the Gospels cannot be limited by human words and a statement of faith. And perhaps this is the wonder of Jesus as truth. Our relationship with Christ leads us on a meaning-filled, purpose-filled, and rich journey of truth. But here's the thing. The truth that we live out of and learn, it's not always warm and comforting like a thick blanket on a cold winter's day or a hot cup of something to drink when it's cold outside. Sometimes this truth that is Christ blinds us like the summer sun, or the light that is turned on after we've been in the dark for a while. Sometimes the truth that is Christ pushes us like a strong wind on a blustery day. But always, just like the gravity that keeps us seated in our pews, I promise that the truth that is Christ has come to bring us abundant life. Jesus answered, "You say that I am king. For this I was born, and for this I came into this world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Amen.